afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello, I'm your host for Family First, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about our show today. So much information we get from the media, from TV, from newspapers about eating disorders, for childhood obesity, and lifestyle problems that are causing a great deal of extra stress in modern families. And I'm so excited to have my guest today, who is an expert in these issues, and we're going to talk about the problems and also about preventing them by some simple things that families and parents can do in the home. My guest is Alice Balin. She's a speaker, psychotherapist, dietitian, a hypnotherapist, and a life coach and adventurer. She's been interviewed by CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC affiliates, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and the Dallas Morning News. She's from Texas. Just to name a few. She's a former spokesperson for the American Dietetic Association and national food companies and reaches millions of Americans with her nutrition, health, and life balance messages coast to coast. She's a leading authority on how to permanently overcome weight concerns, disordered or crazy eating, anxiety, life stressors, body loathing, which a lot of young girls and some of the boys have too, and creating a balanced, productive, energetic, and fun life. She's your go-to advisor and your long-term solution for struggles with your relationship to food and eating. She loves eating and cooking and cycling, also backpacking, swimming, very fit lady, scuba diving, reading, traveling, exploring, and enjoying life with her husband, Dick Mallett. And she's written this wonderful book called Eat Up Your Good Life, which is really about how to have a full good life and overcome troubling relationships with food. So welcome, Alice. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi, Randy. It's great to be here. I love to show people how to eat up the good life. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, your book is so wonderful, and we're only going to be able to touch on a few of the wonderful bits of advice that you have in the book, but I want people to know about what you have to offer. You've managed to master so many different aspects of healing and relationship to food, nutrition, and energy and fitness. What brought you to this work? Can you tell a little bit about your own personal story?
Sure. I love showing individuals and families easy solutions and savvy skills for truly enjoying food and nutrition. A lot of people have negative concepts about food and eating. For example, if I go to a women's meeting or something and they notice that I'm having a piece of chocolate cake or a hot fudge sundae or something, they'll say, "Oh, you're a dietitian and a therapist. How are you supposed to be eating that?" Or And I say, well, yeah, you don't, you know, this, what counts is like the whole week, not just one food or one meal or one day. And so they'll jump up from the table and they'll run get themselves a slice of apple pie or something like that. So it's kind of fun. You know, I don't like the way that our society often vilifies food, because it's such a balance of our favorite foods and our fun foods as well as nutritious foods. And we need to get all that in. So what I've noticed is that families usually want to have health and energy and fun and not worry about depriving themselves of their favorite foods and going on restrictive diets and losing and regaining weight dozens of times, yet they still desire to be slim and without diseases like diabetes or high blood pressure. So the families and individuals that I work with often tell me they want to know how to plan nutritious and easy meals to make all that possible, and that's what I do. So you mentioned like my family story, and one reason I became a dietitian and a therapist is because when I was 8 years old, my mom always made us a nutritious hot meal for breakfast, and we all ate together as a family. So that was really they were good role models for me. And then I would go to school after having an egg and a piece of bacon and whole wheat toast or something. I go to school and notice that most of my classmates only had a donut or no breakfast. And I felt so sad for them because they didn't have the energy and the excitement and the ability to learn as much as I did. And from that point, being age 8 throughout my life, I just kind of decided that I want to be a dietitian as well and learn how to help other people on a professional level. So when I went to Amarillo High School and I'm in age 15, I started taking some foods and nutrition classes. And Mrs. Inez Parkey was my teacher at that time, and she just took me under her wing, and she was a good example and showed me how to do all, you know, learn about nutrition and, you know, pinch an inch. And we learned how to make biscuits and, you know, life, nutrition through the life cycle and everything like that. So it was so much fun that at the end of the year, I won the, you know, Foods 10 Award and then the top nutrition student of the year my senior year and things like that. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe I should think about doing this as a profession. And that's what I did. I went on to Amarillo College and Texas Tech University and University of Texas Southwestern Medical at Dallas and became a dietitian and later on a therapist. And that's what I do, is help people just have it really eat. That's what I talk about eating at the good life, is being able to have the health and energy to live an exceptional life, not just one that's kind of boring and, you know, you feel too overweight or no energy to do what you really want to do.
Oh, that's great. You have so much energy, and you definitely practice what you preach in your wonderful book, Eat Up the Good Life. You really take a holistic approach. And how would you define the good life for our listeners?
Well, that's very individual, Randy. What do you perceive as the good life? I want to ask each audience member, what do you perceive as the good life? For example, many of my clients and audiences, oftentimes they're overweight or obese. I talk with bariatric patients and do psych evals before surgery and nutrition assessments before surgery. I do nutrition through the life cycle, all the way from bulimia and compulsive eating and stress and emotional eating through the morbidly obese, and then people who just are, you know, want to lose a few pounds, you know, 5 or 10 pounds. So anything to do with weight, nutrition, eating disorders, weight, nutrition, and eating healthy. But a lot of them tell me they just want to have, like, more energy and health. They want to be able to climb the stairs without being out of breath. Now, that's simple to you and I, Randy, because I know that you're very health conscious, too, and you're a great swimmer and love to be very active like I do. But some people don't have that experience. They just don't want to be out of breath. They want not to hurt. They want to get off medications for diabetes and hypertension and cholesterol and everything like that. They want to be able to play and run with their grandkids, which you and I probably take for granted because it's so easy for us to get along with in play. But for a lot of people, it's not. And they just want something simple like that. They want to be able to fit into a stadium or airplane seat without having to get, you know, an extra width. I know that some of my clients like to go to see the Dallas Cowboys play at a football game, and, you know, they can't fit into the seats anymore, or they can't fit on, you know, to the plane when they're going across the country. And it's just very embarrassing for them, and not to mention painful. And it's also hard for the people sitting in the seats beside someone who's really overweight to have them spill over into their space. So people just want simple things like that. They want to be able to, and some others that I work with, they want to be able to ride their bikes for miles and miles and miles, and have the energy and the stamina to do that. So that's that's my perception of their perception of to eat up a good life.
That makes so much sense. A good life is really very simple, but sometimes you have to work at it in modern environment. And when there's a weight problem or pain or lack of energy, poor habits that just drain your energy and make you feel fatigued, you just can't enjoy the simple things like playing with a grandchild or being able to be comfortable in an air flight for vacation or just being able to walk around the block. Mm-hmm. I think that's, and I love your emphasis on fun. People want to have enough energy just to do what makes life feel good for them. You work with many parents and their children who have issues around lifestyle and eating disorders. and other concerns. What are the most frequent kinds of issues that you're dealing with in the family context? You've already mentioned a few, but in the particular family context, what do you see? Especially, you've added psychotherapy to all your dietetic expertise, and so obviously you're focusing in on the relationships and how to prevent these problems in the first place and how to deal with them when they develop. So we just have a minute to our next break, so let's get started on the answer to that question.
Okay. Yeah, well, we can answer all that in just 1 minute, Randy.
All right.
well, many times, just kidding, many times it's just preventing and treating weight and eating disorders such as bulimia, which is like binging and vomiting or over-exercising and lots of lack of energy, low self-confidence, not even knowing how to eat correctly for their own bodies and their body image and their self-esteem. So a lot of times it has to do with mother-daughter mentoring. And some of the girls come in, they're like 14, 15, 16 years old, and they just want so much more time with their moms who are often like, you know, working, or they're working two jobs or going to school, and there's just not much time together. So it's simple things like not having a good body image, or they think they need to be as skinny as their friends.
Okay, let's get back to that, because so many mother-daughters have those issues. And so we'll take a break, and then we'll be back with Alice Baland, your specialist in eating disorders and how to prevent those problems.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're speaking with Alice Baland, a nutritionist, dietitian, psychotherapist, hypnotist, and one of the world's experts on family relationships regarding food. And we were just talking about the relationship between a mother and her daughter and how to recognize the problems that may arise in today's fast-paced, difficult cultural environment for preteens and teenage girls. So, Alice, could you give us an example of a situation where you've had a mother and daughter who needed to work together to improve their relationship to food and eating?
Sure. Sometimes a mother will bring her daughter in because she's worried about her maybe sneaking food. She might eat, you know, enough dinner if they have a meal together. But sometimes she sneaks food or, you know, like peanut butter or chocolate bars and hides them in her room or something. And maybe they just don't have as many conversations anymore, something like that. And she's maybe the daughter's starting to worry about her body image or her weight, even though she's playing volleyball or a cheerleader or something and just very active. And they start having, you know, just these concerns. I bring them in, we'll talk. We'll just have this great conversation individually with the mom and the daughter, and then sometimes together, depends on the situation, and learn so much. Sometimes it's something simple as the daughter just wants more time with her mom. You know, the mom is very busy. She's active. She's maybe working full-time or part-time, and then, you know, moving, taking other kids around, doing the mom things, you know, and sometimes there's just not enough time together, and life goes so fast that we often don't think about that. And when that simple thing is brought into awareness, you know, then we can find some easy solutions for spending more time together, even like food preparation or making breakfast or going for a walk around the park together or something like that. And over time, you know, instill some confidence in that young woman, help her individualize a nutrition plan for playing volleyball or being a cheerleader so that she can really have that good energy that's so necessary for an active young woman and to feel good about herself and her body. And we know that eating together as a family and having more nutritious meals helps learning better and feeling better. So we talk about some of those things, and it's really kind of eye-opening for all of us. There's some different situations in there that I know. For example, one time I had a mother-daughter come in, and she was having the beginnings of an eating disorder from restrictive eating, which can be pre-anorexia or whatever. And one of the first questions I asked them, well, when was the last time you had a meal together? And they looked at each other kind of in surprise, and they were thinking, they looked at each other, they thought that thing. So, well, it's been several months. Not just a day or a week, but several months together. And I think that's one of the most important critical issues to deal with, is that a family needs to have more frequent meals together. Like when I was growing up, we had like breakfast and supper together every day. It was just something our family did. It was assumed. We didn't have to. It's just we enjoyed it because it was so much fun. And I think that helps prevent weight and eating disorders. You know, you can talk to your children, find out problems ahead of time. And I felt really sad for that family because they just, you know, it just got away from them. They didn't realize that it was important until we had talked about it for a while.
That's a wonderful example. I think that's just so important. And the role of parents in becoming a model for good habits. And that's something we've really lost with parents working outside of the home for such long hours and then the kids having so many after-hour activities that the parents just don't have enough time around the child to actually demonstrate healthy habits. So I know you've come up mm-hmm. with some wonderful new studies about statistics on the benefits of eating together as a family. Can you share some of them, Alice?
Oh, sure. You know, my goal and mission in life is to show families and individuals how to be self-reliant and happy and healthy in body, mind, and spirit so they can live independently as long as possible. So when I found these statistics on the benefits of eating together as a family, I was thrilled. I mean, it makes sense to me because I've done it all my life. And it surprises me that everybody doesn't do that, but it shouldn't really surprise me because that I work with clients that to help them do that. But this was a recent report published in the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and it stated that children and adolescents who share family meals three or more times per week, now that's not much, is it, Randy, just three times a week?
No.
They're more likely to be in a normal weight range and have healthier dietary and eating patterns than those who don't have three family meals a week. And so I thought that was pretty astonishing. Well, what they did was, these findings were based on information collected from 17 previous studies that included over 182,000 children ages 2 to 17. And those are very formative years. So this is critical information. And it's so really simple to implement some of these changes. But what they found was, that the same children were also less likely to suffer from other disordered related eating and more likely to make better choices in the foods that they eat. So they found that three or more meals together as a family included a 12% reduction in the odds for becoming overweight. That's a pretty cool benefit, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Another benefit was a 20% reduction in the odds for eating unhealthy foods like junk foods. 20% reduction. And in my family, we didn't have any good foods or bad foods. We just had all kinds of foods. We'd have like some maybe ice cream occasionally. Mom would make from scratch devil's food cake or angel food cake on the weekends or something. And she was a wonderful baker and a wonderful cook. So we would have different things. We would go to the A&W Root Beer Drive-In for a frosty mug of root beer in the old days, you know, and just have so much fun. It was a family thing. So we just didn't have good foods, bad foods, but we also played outdoors 4 hours a day, and we rode our bicycles and things like that. Another benefit from this study of eating at least three meals as a family together was a 35% reduction in the odds for developing disordered eating. Now, that's pretty astonishing, isn't it, Randy?
Yes, it's wonderful. And I want to emphasize that it's three or more times per week. It's not three times a day. Just talking about three times a week.
35% reduction in the chances of developing an eating disorder. And I think one reason is because you get a chance to talk to each other. Hopefully you're setting an example for your children and eating your fruits and vegetables, too, having a variety of foods and being able to encourage your kids and say, oh, I'm so happy you have a healthy appetite. And, you know, whatever it might be, just encouraging your children and praising them at the table. One rule that my mom had and my dad is that we were never allowed to talk about anything stressful or bad at the table. It was all about telling jokes or what happened at school or something funny that happened. So, you know, that's important to have a healthy dinner time atmosphere so that you feel relaxed instead of, you know, running away from the table, which I could tell you a story about that in a minute. But another benefit of eating only three meals together as a family was a 24% increase in the odds for eating healthy foods like vegetables and other healthy foods. And we know that when we eat more healthy foods, we have less disease, we have more energy, probably fewer cavities and all kinds of things like that. And more energy. This wasn't in this particular study, Randy, but there's other studies that I've read that show this. Eating together as a family, you have a decrease in drug use, less chance of becoming pregnant, and greater learning in school and having just more energy. So it's just an opportunity for family time and conversations and opportunities that have just kind of low-key conversations with your children and find out, you know, what's going on in your life and being pleasant and having happy times together.
Oh, I think that's so important, just the low-key conversations, just having those little chats so that they understand what life is all about and how you perceive it. And especially even when children are having trouble at school, parents often don't realize that it may be just something as simple as getting a little more parental attention, more laughing around the dinner table, even having a family dinner table that they get together.
Right.
Two or three times a week. So that's really powerful information. And reducing these problems by 20, 25% can be a huge difference. How prevalent do you think these problems are now among our older kids or younger teenagers?
Well, sadly, about 10 million people have eating disorders, and about 1 million of those are boys and men, and that's kind of increasing too because, you know, I think one thing is that there's so many magazines out there that have on the cover real skinny men, boys and girls, men and women, and people think that they have to live up to that image. You know, they might have one of my eating disorder trainers one time showed us, said she talked to one of the guys, I think it was Men's Health Magazine or something like that, and she happened to call the editor and say, you know, this, they only show the abs, you know, like six-pack abs, and she said, this looks like the same guy, you know, and they said, oh, yeah, he's a, He's a very popular. He's like great abs. He works out all day, every day. That's his job. So he can have great abs and be in photographs. And, you know, a lot of boys and young men think they have to do that too. And then they start eating disorders because they start cutting down on their food intake and getting, you know, really weak and passing out. And, you know, most of us don't have the opportunity to work out and play all day like he does. I mean, more power to him. That's kind of cool. But, you know, we also know that when people, especially women, but also boys and girls too, when they look at those types of magazines, those popular magazines, just 5 minutes, there's a huge deflation in their body image and their self-esteem because they feel less than. They feel they're not as good as someone who they think has a better body or than they do. And I think that's just very tragic. That makes me really sad.
Yes, I think there's so much about comparing yourself, and our advertising culture really encourages that, and it is detrimental to young people getting a sense of who they are. We're coming up on a break, but I just want to say real quick that I had a client once who her son was reducing his weight significantly to fit into a lower wrestling team. And she finally had to intervene and say, put him in a higher wrestling team. But then he gave it up because he was fighting bigger kids. So sometimes it takes some real family intervention and some restructuring of priorities.
Absolutely.
This is powerful stuff, and I can't wait to hear more. And I love your voice. I mean, you have so much expertise behind you, and you speak so accessibly friendly, like, I mean, talking about your own childhood eating habits as a way to set up a good, healthy family. So,
thank you, Randy.
It makes I can see how it would be very comfortable for a client to speak with you. So, we'll be right back with Alice Balin.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're speaking today with Alice Baland, who's a nutritionist, dietitian, psychotherapist, counselor, national speaker on issues of improving your relationship with food and particularly families, being able to develop a situation in an environment where their children can learn to eat up the good life. And we were talking about how important it is for the parents to set a model and of doing that, living the good life, and also how to be aware of what's going on for their children by having regular chats and a few meals a week where they actually sit down together and have some fun catching up. And so what kinds of signs would a parent look for, Alice, and what kind of conversation if they feel like the child is kind of eating erratically or has been comparing themselves too much with the covers of the modeling magazines, if their self-image is fading, what kind of conversation can a parent have without just coming out and saying, I think your image of yourself is no good and we got to fix it? What's a better way to approach it?
Right. I think one of the most important things is just to, you know, meet with your child in a quiet place alone and just ask, be kind and open and say, you know, please tell me any kind of problem you're having. I might be angry or sad, but I have your best interest at heart. I just really want to be sure that you're having a happy, healthy life. The parent might say, you know, I've noticed or I've observed. Those are good words to use instead of saying, why are you doing this or why are you doing that or what's wrong with you? Those put the other person on the defensive and just cause anger and break down a communication. But using terms like, you know, I've noticed this or I've observed that, or I found these empty candy wrappers under your bed, or, you know, and I've noticed that you're buying skinnier jeans, and, you know, which often happens, they'll go down to like a size 0 or minus 2 or something like that. And, you know, I think the best thing is just to express your own fear and concern about your child and say, I'm kind of curious about what's going on or how things going at school with your friends, because at these ages, like in grade school and junior high and high school, oftentimes there's problems with friends. You know, they're often not loyal all the time. They say mean and vicious things about the child and each other, and they're going through all those social skill things and everything too. So it's a really difficult time in life, and you know, it's no wonder that later on, 1 in 4 college women have an eating disorder, and they often start as young as age 6. I've treated, you know, like a little boy age 6, which is very sad. So maybe just starting out with a simple conversation and trying to get the child to open up and just find out what's really going on, you know, at the school level. You know, some clients come in and they are very athletic. They participate in sports, and sometimes it'll be something as simple as their coach will say something like they're on the swim team or volleyball team or something like that, and they'll say, you know, you could run faster if you would only lose 5 pounds. You know, just a little simple comment like that, and all of a sudden the child starts dieting. And, of course, you've got to have energy when you're an athlete. You've got to have lots of energy, but, you know the right foods to eat. You don't want to eat, like, hamburgers and hot dogs and french fries every day and, you know, hot apple pies and things like that. So I help people, you know, figure out how to build those relationships with, improve them with their family, with each other, and with their relationship with food, and being able to choose some of the right foods for their energy level so that sometimes they're just really, truly not aware of what good nutrition is. Which is, I mean, I kind of take for granted for myself, but I was brought up on a variety of food groups and, you know, those kind of things. So I think challenges for parents are just to be as calm and kind as possible and just to say things like, I've noticed that you're not eating so well or that you're eating a lot of foods or that jar of peanut butter is gone in 2 days and things like that, you know, just kind of making comments and say, what's troubling you? You know, please share so that, you know, we want to do everything we can to help you out, to help you have a satisfying, happy life.
Oh, that's such great advice. You want to avoid putting the child on the defensive, and your own worries and fears, you need to kind of put aside and listen and ask kind questions. And so often it can be emotional problems from school, friends, or even a coach who says something careless. And from what I'm hearing, you're saying that that often these disordered relationships to food come from emotional injuries, really, or just emotional lack of interaction with parents or loved ones. And using that relationship to food to fill in, kind of, almost, would that be fair to say?
Oh, right. It does, Randy. It's often starts with emotional eating, stress eating, oftentimes boredom. You know, sometimes they're latchkey kids. The kids are home alone while the parents are still working. They come home, they're bored, they don't know have anything, they don't know what to do except watch TV or play computer games or something like that. And something that, you know, would be a good rule not to have at home is not to eat and watch TV or play computer games or something at the same time. You know, just having, when you eat, only eat at one place in a table with a family, but don't eat at the computer, don't eat and drink soft drinks at the computer and, you know, chips in front of the TV and all that kind of thing. Cause that can, you know, then you're not aware of what you're doing. There's all this mindless eating is, you know, a lot of people just do eat from boredom. And so just finding other activities that the child or the children can do at home until you get there is a big help. You know, it could be some people are real artistic. They like, this is a good time to work on their art or to read a book or to write a book. You know, more and more kids are starting to write books and do really cool projects and stuff. So, but I think the parent needs to get with the child and work with them, make a list. You put it on the refrigerator and say, here's a list of things to do when you get bored or when you get sad or when you feel angry, and separate the food from the emotions so that, you know, instead of eating for emotional recovery because food is friend or food is comfort, show kids how to deal with their emotions in an emotional way instead of with food, because then I deal with the adults later on who are 200 pounds overweight and they're still trying to figure out that problem, and they end up having like lap band surgery or gastric sleeve or, you know, bariatric surgery of some kind, and still having to deal with those emotional problems. So this is a critical time in a child's life to learn how to deal with emotions correctly and what to do instead of eat for boredom or anger or sadness or something like that.
That's great. That's such powerful advice. I know that in your practice, you have been involved in re-educating people who have gone through these surgeries and tried to change things on a physical level, but they still need to learn about their nutrition and change their relationship to food. So do you find that often the worried parent needs to get involved in taking a look at her own life as well, or her father?
Oh, of course. You know, you're right, Randy. A lot of times, and sometimes the parents recognize that. They often eat on the run, too, and they stop by the drive-through too many times. And I think one of the important things to do is it does take, if you want to be successful at anything in the whole world, whether it's graduate from college or high school or become a successful entrepreneur or whatever it is, it takes some planning. And it's not hard. It just takes maybe 10 or 15 minutes every, you know, once or twice a week to plan a few meals, get the kids involved in planning some meals. And I observed this firsthand when I went to visit my sister in near Chicago one time when my nephew was 3 years old. And I just went to just play for a week and help her out and just have fun and get to know him better. He was so cute, you know, so adorable. And I noticed that the night before, she would say, "Brian, for breakfast tomorrow, do you want a scrambled egg and toast or do you want French toast and fruit?" And he would choose which one he wanted. She would write it down on an index card, put it on the refrigerator, and the next morning she would make what he wanted. Now, see, this is very important. A couple things happen. One is that she gave him two good choices. She didn't say, "Do you want like a donut or, you know, whatever it might be." She gave him two good choices. He chose one. Well, the next morning, he might say he wants French toast instead of scrambled egg. And she says, well, Brian, remember, here we chose this the night before. This is what you wanted. So I'm going to make this today because I've already prepared for it. But if you want the other one tomorrow, I'll be glad to do that for tomorrow. So see, it's very important for parents to set limits in a kind way to parents and hold the kids accountable for their actions. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? But it's such a simple way, you know, such a simple way that she's teaching him. And she also got him involved in, like, cooking. Like, on Saturday morning, she would sit him up on the counter and she'd be making some hotcakes, you know, and he got to put in the flour and the baking powder and, you know, the milk and then a few chocolate chips. And it was just so much fun. So he grew up with a healthy knowledge of nutrition and eating, and so did my other nephew, Kevin. So it was just really fun to it can be fun with your kids. You know, nutrition and eating, you can develop a healthy, good, fun relationship with food and eating and use food as fuel, not for emotional reasons.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, there's so many simple little things that parents can do, and those are great examples, the planning and giving the child a choice and then reminding him that he made the choice, and you need to be able to know ahead of time what you're going to be preparing. So integrating those kinds of interactions, giving the child some responsibility and some choice and making them feel powerful and sense their importance in the family, that's all so, so useful, Alice.
Mm-hmm. Randy, you brought up a good point is that,
yes, go ahead.
You know, as far as the children, as far as the parents, one of the worst things to do is to be for the parents to be on a diet, whether it's a diet to lose weight or I know that some of my clients have come in, their parents have been on a low cholesterol diet. And so, you know, we have to look at nutrition through the life cycle from infancy to old age and everything in between. We all have different nutritional needs at all those stages in our lives, and we all need different amounts of food and different types of food. So it's important that, you know, we let the family know that it's not restrictive, so it doesn't become restrictive for them.
Okay, that's wonderful. We're up on another break, so please come back and listen to Alice's wonderful tips about preventing eating problems in the home.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
When you were young, did you feel free to daydream? Were you full of questions such as why, how, and what if? Did you allow yourself to be carefree, to dance and sing? Did you create just for fun? Want to feel that way again? Reclaim your natural curiosity and creativity with Dr. Carol Stalka on Stargazing Stories, Sparking Your Creativity. Revitalize your life, work, and relationships. Be more playful, be bold, imagine, explore, and live more creatively every day. Tune in Wednesdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West on Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
This is Randy Rolf again, and we're talking with Alice Bayland, who's a psychotherapist, a nutritionist, a dietitian. She's been in this field many, many years and helped thousands of families with her workshops and her counseling, and now her new book, Eating Up the Good Life. And I love that metaphor that you chose of just showing people that, of course, eating is essential, and it should be a fun, health-giving thing rather mm-hmm. than a problem. So we've been talking about the eating habits of families and what parents need to do to model and to clear their own minds, their own relationships about food. And in your book, you have some wonderful a model for how your thoughts affect your feelings and your actions and your core beliefs. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. The book is really great. As you said, it's because it Eat Up the Good Life. And I show people how to develop savvy skills for pleasurable, guilt-free eating and living. So I feel that role modeling is so important, as my parents were like fabulous role models for me. My high school foods and nutrition teacher, college teachers. So, you know, if you didn't grow up with good role modeling from your parents or teachers, then you can get that through, you know, getting a good therapist or dietitian, nutrition coach, a mentor. But it's really important to get good education throughout life for whatever you need. And so we know that, you know, what our thoughts affect our feelings, which affect our actions and consequences or results. So thoughts are really important. And the second thing is, like, to change thoughts, we need to assess and understand and change our core beliefs. Well, where do our core beliefs come from? Those are formed through verbal messages that we've heard. Like, you know, a lot of my clients tell me their parents said, oh, you're fat, you're pig, you're horrible things. I mean, no child needs to hear those types of messages. It'd be more like, sweetheart, I think I'm so concerned about your health, and let's get something done. So the verbal message, you know, to help you have a better life, you know. So the positive encouraging messages, those verbal messages are critical to developing core beliefs. And second one is the role modeling examples, good or bad. So when the parent, you know, like my dad would go, he had home weights and he would go play, he would go do the weights, and after dinner we would go for walks and we'd walk to the park and hear the Marine Corps band, and we would walk home and we walked to the library as all my brothers and sisters on the weekend and checked out some books, and we'd walk back home. So those are great role models. My mom would go with us a lot of times. So it's, you know, those role models are very important. And a third thing that affects our core beliefs are those specific critical incidents that happen to a child that they remember, you know, like their maybe a classmate called them fat, or they ignored them, or something happened in their family. And so we have to deal with those specific incidents too and help change their core beliefs so that then it goes back to having those healthy thoughts and making good choices again. But it's kind of like a circle. They all relate to each other. And, you know, but I think that's at the core of changing family habits is, you know, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, and our core beliefs, and going through those, because there's lots of great skills that can be learned from the right person to, you know, in the right books and CDs and teleclasses and all those things, which I like to do for people. I'm going to be having a series of teleclasses coming up, which, you know, you just call into a number and you can hear some great information and maybe even ask questions and things like that. And read good books like Eat Up the Good Life and get some personal help. But, you know, you're right, Randy. First of all, that role modeling is so critical.
That's so important. I've heard so much also. Just want to mention it because I think it's a key factor. You've mentioned to me a couple times that how important it is that children get sleep. And we've seen so much mm-hmm. associating children not getting enough sleep with basically eating to stay awake or get a little energy or fill their nights when they're working on the computer too late, just not getting enough sleep. And you had some good recommendations in your book about that it's that parents need to assert some limits. And you talked about having electronics in the bedroom. Can you expand on that a little?
Right. And I think this is important not only for children but for adults, because we want to be good role models for our children, right? And some of you in the audience might like flip over and say I'm crazy or something, but this is so helpful if you want to eat up the good life and have good energy and health and habits. But one thing I firmly believe in is no electronics in the bedroom, no TV. You know, you can have a radio to wake you up in the morning. I do that. That's important. But no TV, no food, no eating in the bedroom, no food, and no electronics in there. Leave everything in the kitchen. So no cell phones. I know some of the kids that I work with, they're texting each other at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Kids need to have at least 9 or 10 hours of sleep a night. And I know a lot of the adults are sleep deprived too. We need at least 6 or 8 hours a night. But sleep is so important, and not getting enough sleep can be another cause for eating disorders and weight problems that doesn't need to be. And I know I help people with time management and setting priorities so they can figure out new solutions, easy solutions for making some of those things happen, and, you know, kind of relaxing at night and not watching scary movies or watching the news before you go to bed and things like that.
So you're really talking about healthy habits, and you've offered so many great tips, Alice. How would people find out about your teleseminars or get a hold of your CDs and a copy of your Eat Up the Good Life book? What's the best way to learn about all these things?
Well, one way they can do that is by going to, I have three websites. One of them, the easiest one, is eatupthegoodlife.com. Just eatupthegoodlife.com. And when you go to that site, I offer you like 2 or 3 free gifts plus a free demonstration of a super easy breakfast so that you can prepare a breakfast without cooking. And I show that to you on eatupthegoodlife.com along with a couple other gifts. And there's a success store on there, so you can order Eat Up the Good Life book or my other one, Catch Your Dreams book. And I have a hypnosis instant download for Lose Weight with Hypnosis, which is so fantastic and so cool, with the music of Dr. Jack Waldenmeyer, who's a brilliant composer. And that combination of Lose Weight with Hypnosis, it has lots of positive imaging in there, and it's something good to listen to before you go to sleep at night. You know, you can transfer it to your iPod or something, and definitely don't do that while you're driving, because of course it's hypnosis. It's very relaxing, guided visualization and good imagery. And, that would be like a great way. And if you want me to speak to your group, I go nationwide. You can go to my website, alicebalin.com, and that's A-L-I-C-E, B as in boy, A-L-A-N-D as in David, alicebalin.com. And there are some places there that you can tell me what I can come speak to your group on some one of the things that we've been talking about. And then a third website I have is bingeeatingdisorderstreatment.com.
Absolutely excellent. We obviously know that from what Alice has shared already, how much more she can give. And I hope you will check out her websites, Eat Up the Good Life and Alice Balin. And thank you so much for sharing so much today, Alice. It couldn't be more important than having our families have a good relationship to
thank
their
eating. Thank you,
Brandy.
Such a pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, I it's so much fun to talk with you, and you have so much to give.
You got a great radio show, and it's just fantastic. I'm glad you're doing that to really help families. That's what we want to do, is help them be more self-reliant and healthy and happy.
Great. Thank you. We're on the same page. I love it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.